Not only are we back, it's also Champions League time of the year, quarterfinals, and all the results are going to be right here later on in the show. I'm your host, Nico. We also got Tony with us. Tony, what's going on, man?
Oh, man, it's been a jam-packed week. Got a big weekend coming up, too. Some big games all over the world. And back down here in Canada, we got the CPL starting up, so...
Lots of good
stuff. Summertime's on its way, man.
Oh, that temperature yesterday and today. Oh, yeah. How do you not get hyped for all this greatness that's coming our way? Lots of goals being scored this week, too, in Champions League. My goodness. I think there was over, like, almost over 15 goals scored in four games alone, which is insane. Mm-hmm. 18 goals. 18 goals total in four games is crazy. You know, let's get into the Champions League first. Let's start with the games that took place on the Tuesday. First up, Real Madrid, Man City. They played to a 3-3 draw. What's your initial takeaways in that leg? Because that was in Madrid. So, I mean, big tie for Man City.
I saw that, you know, all the hype about UEFA approving Madrid to close in that stadium, but the roof of the stadium to make it louder. But, you know, I have to admit something that I don't think anyone will expect me to admit, but Phil Foden's on fire right now.
He's playing out his mind.
I cannot deny it right now because of how good he is. I mean, that goal he scored, even the goal Gravidal scored. I mean,
that Gvardiol goal was unreal.
The worst goal, not counting Ruben Dias' own goal, was Rodrigo's.
Yep.
Every other goal was just a banger from Bernardo Silva, Gravidal, and even Valverde at the end.
Yep.
This was just a crazy. You know, this is what you want to see. Like, it's like almost like FIFA type shit. You know what I mean? Like 3-3 draw, two of the best teams playing at each other. And this is, I can't wait for that to the second leg in City because, you know, to go into Madrid to win with that kind of atmosphere, I mean, to tie with that kind of atmosphere is very impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a very impressive game. However, I'm going to say one thing here that might be a little controversial. It's been a topic we spoke about since before last season even, and that's Erling Haaland. Obviously, he proved me wrong last year. He was on fire. Even the beginning of this year, he was on fire. What's been going on with him lately?
Yeah, he's not – this year has been very – he's fallen off.
What's crazy, though, is we say that. He's still leading the EPL in goals.
But the quality. You know, it's like who he scores against. You know, because like the big games, he's missing – he's been missing in action.
But, I mean, he's like, still third – he's third in Champions League scoring. Like,
But, I mean, like, how many goals is against Copenhagen?
Yeah. No, I agree. Right? Like,
I've noticed that the tougher the defender, the less influence he has on the game.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, but I mean, that was fantastic. That was a good one. So,
yeah, great tie for Man City there, and they go back. Tony is the edge. Obviously, has to be in Man City's favor going back to Manchester next week, right? What do you think?
I think the safe bet is, but I mean, we've seen this time and time again for Madrid, you know, where they've had a sloppy first leg and then they've gone in and, you know, worked their experience into favor. It's going to be still going to need the top effort from Man City to finish off Madrid, but that's going to be an exciting leg because, you know, Man City's got that. I mean, I know heading into this, I said Madrid could walk over City, and I still think that's possible. But City, this game here proved why they won it last year. Like, this is a champions performance there. So,
yeah,
it's gonna be tough. I can see this one going right to penalties, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely gonna be probably the match to watch next week. It's definitely gonna be the most exciting, and really this could be a final, right? I would have loved to see that three-three game go to extra time the way those teams are firing. The other game that happened on the Tuesday, Arsenal Bayern. I mean, they tied. Bayern's no stranger to poor away showings in the Champions League. Like we saw what happened with them in Lazio in the last round. But there's one thing I want to talk about this game. Was it a penalty kick?
I mean, I didn't watch this game, but I'll be honest. I think it is. I feel like he played that ball to continue the game, and he grabbed it.
It is 100% a penalty kick. Everyone's saying, oh, but when people do throw-ins, they throw the ball. The winger will throw the ball to a wing back. The play is dead. There's no at-line ball.
This was a whistle that went off.
Ball was on the ground. He kicked it. Ball's in play. Buddy picks it up. And apparently, what I heard was, I saw Tuchel talking. He said the refs told the guys that that's a little kid foul. He's not calling that in the quarterfinal. Hey, he's a little kid foul. Don't make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a reason why Arsenal bottles all these things, right? With things like that, man. You need special players, special plays.
Yeah. Like, that's – I mean, like, consistency this year, Champions League has been the best when it comes, like, VAR and reffing compared to all the other leagues. And to have that moment happen was really devastating because it did take away from a very good game. I mean, Arsenal, even if they had only lost 3-2 to Bayern, it was still going to be a great result.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, Bayern Munich in history has walked over Arsenal. Like, we've seen aggregates of 10-2, you know, between these two teams in the past. So,
yeah, and arguably Arsenal was the better team, too.
And I agree. I mean, Bayern, I mean, the performance they had over the weekend losing obviously didn't motivate them to do any better here. So, it's, you know, I it's another one where I expected Bayern to play a lot better. But, I mean, right now, Arsenal has it in their favor. I mean, going to Munich is going to be tough.
I think Bayern has this locked in.
Yeah, I mean, see, this is I hate supporting English teams, but like Bayern's not the Bayern of old.
No, right? They're not.
This is a shell of the team that we've seen in the past. And the thing with Arsenal right now, they are playing very well.
I agree. And
this is a time that Arsenal has that chance to like slay the demon right now. Because if any time you're going to beat Bayern, it's going to be now. So
if they tie Bayern. If they tie in Munich and they go to penalty kicks, if you're Bayern, how pissed are you? And they win in penalty kicks. How pissed are you if you're a Bayern fan because of that penalty kick not being awarded?
Oh, I'm fuming. That's just pathetic as a ref in UEFA, right? So.
It's disgusting. But yeah. And then, you know, we got the games that happened yesterday, which is today we were recording it, but it's Thursday when it comes out. So the games that were on Wednesday, PSG, Barcelona. Barcelona with a sneaky victory on the road.
This one was shocking. This one, I expect the same thing. PSG, I mean, they tied over the week, resting players, and to come out and lose at home to Barcelona is very, very – that's a gut punch to PSG because now, I mean, nothing against Barcelona, but, I mean
– Barcelona. Facing them on the road and you give up three goals – that's embarrassing.
Heading to Barcelona now to with them in the lead, it's going to be very tough.
Listen, you know how I feel about this Barcelona. How about Barcelona as a whole? But this Barcelona team, man, they
in the Champions League, they've been playing fantastic.
They've been playing really well, and this result just adds to that. I really think that they'll take out PSG next week. I think a tie is very likely, and a Barcelona win isn't out of the world of possibility either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see it. I hate it. I hate that Barca is going to be a semifinal team, but
they've only lost three games in La Liga. Like, they're looking good. Lewandowski's playing well. Rafinha was out of his mind today. That young kid Yamal has been fantastic. You got Gundogan and De Jong in the middle there. Like, their back line too has been very good.
And Pedri coming off the bench. That's, you know, that just shows you how well they're playing right now. So
and you know who they're missing too. I think isn't Gavi hurt?
Excuse me. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they don't have him too. Like, this team, man, it might be bold to say, I think they got to be one of the favorites right now.
Well, I believe they'll play the winner of Atletico Barca, right?
Dortmund, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is I can see whoever comes out in that league on this side will probably hit the final for sure.
I agree. And I think Barcelona might just be the favorites because they're looking really good right now. They don't have to worry about winning the league because it's pretty much all wrapped up by Man City, Real Madrid. If I'm not mistaken, I think Madrid has them by over 6 points.
I believe so.
So yeah, they don't have to worry about that at all.
8 points actually.
Eight points. Yeah. So I mean, that's not getting overcome. So they could just focus on there and they'd be good. And then that we obviously get to the next game, which is another La Liga team and a German team, Atletico versus Dortmund, and Atletico won 2-1. When we spoke about this before, we pretty much said this would happen. Atletico would win in Madrid. Yeah. Dortmund will probably go back and could and very likely will win in at their home. And then now you got maybe if a tie or away goals come in, or not away goals don't come into play anymore, but like total goals scored, I mean. So like if Dortmund can go and win 1-0, then it would go to extra time. But if the Dortmund can win by two or more, then they can be able to push through. Who knows? Atletico's very good at playing for the draw.
Yeah,
they're very good at that.
Yeah, I mean, we saw with what they did against Inter at home, right? Like, they just did their job. They scored when they needed to score. They finished off Inter on penalties. So, All credit to Simeone there. I mean, Dortmund's in tough too because now they're not in a Champions League spot right now in Germany. They're in fifth. They're tied with Red Bull Leipzig. So this is a big, you know, it's a big game for them because if they don't make this count and risk missing getting out of the spots there, it's going to be tough. So, yeah. But yeah, Atletico, it's another one of those teams. You just hate to see them do well, but the Champions League, they've been doing well. So,
yeah, no, it's crazy. I mean, they're a team that I've said for years, Diego Simeone, I hate his style of coaching. I hate that style of play. It's boring to watch, but the results are always there. Yeah. So, I mean, so with these four, with all these four we talked about, who is your semifinals matchups?
I'm going to go with Bayern and Madrid on one side. And then I'm going to go Dortmund and Barcelona.
All right, so we're a bit different here because I'm going to go Man City Bayern on the one side. I just think Man City going back home with the tie, I think there'll be too much to overcome for Madrid right now. And then I'm going to take Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, and do a big La Liga semifinal battle. That's mine. That's yours. We'll be back here next week to talk about who was right and who was Tony. And so make sure you're back here, guys, on Thursday for that. Tony, let's get into some top fins, trash fins.
Okay, so I'm going to start it off in the Turkish Super League. Obviously, there was supposed to be a cup final match going on this weekend, but after the Fenerbahce situation where the team was attacked on the field, Fenerbahce played Galatasaray, and they only fielded their U19 squad. And after Mauro Riccardi put Galatasaray ahead, 1-0, Fenerbahce's team walked off the field. Top bins, trash bins for Fenerbahce's protest.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to give it trash bins for one reason only. They knew they were going to walk off that game, but they thought, hey, let's put this shitty lineup out. Because it was a lineup of their U19s or something, wasn't it?
Yes.
So they thought, let's put this out. If somehow we can win or tie this game, that'd be crazy. But as soon as we go down 1-0, we're walking off. That's bitch move. Just walk off. Don't play the fucking game. You know what I mean? If you're going to do it, do it. Don't half-ass it to me. So that's the reason I'd be giving it a trash. But anything else, if they walked off and didn't play or held out in protest or just like sat down in the game start or something, I'd give it top bins. But for this reason, I'm saying no, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and that's where I say trash bins too. Like, I understand the protest and don't play the game. You know, because what if your U19s did well the first half and kept it 0-0, then second half they were smashed 6-0, right? Like, that's not fair to those guys. It's not their young career. It's a good moment for them to play in a cup final. Let them play it out. You know what I mean? Like, you're just using them as a scapegoat because your pros didn't want to play. You know, so I don't like what Fenerbahce did. I understand why, but I don't like how they pulled it off.
Yeah, I agree.
And the second topic is trash bins. Obviously, this episode is post-WrestleMania. I have to ask, I show Speed showing up at WrestleMania and going after Randy Orton, top bins, trash bins.
Hey, it paid out. Logan Paul got him a brand new Cybertruck for his efforts. And I mean, that table not breaking looked like it hurt. Normally those tables
are 100% screwed up the...
No, I don't think so. I think those tables, you've seen it sometimes where they don't break, right? So and when they don't break, that's when it hurts.
I think the way he took the hit, he probably screwed up.
Well, either way, it made it a lot worse than it was, because if that table breaks, then it's not a bad impact. That table not breaking, that's gonna hurt like a biatch.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I liked it. I like that he's now he's entered the realm of WWE. I kind of hope he goes the same route as Logan Paul, but I just think he's too crazy.
Yeah, there's no way you can get him. There's
too unpredictable to throw him out there.
No chance.
And the final one, back to Spain. The Copa del Rey final happened earlier this past weekend. Athletic Bilbao defeated Mallorca. And
emotion. Okay, go on. Sorry.
No worries, sir. And anyway, Atletico Bilbao has kept up this streak of every 40 years winning the Copa del Rey, which is actually crazy. But I don't know if you saw the videos of the fans packing the stadium to watch the game.
No.
In over on TV, it was actually crazy to see. And I would say top bins, trash bins to have that kind of support for your team.
It's obviously top bins, man. Anytime you can support something like that is absolutely amazing, you know? So I got to give it up to them. Every 40 years, that's a pretty cool stat.
Yeah, it's actually, I think it was like 1904 or something like that. They won in the 1940, then 1980, and now 2024, they pulled it off. So
that's impressive.
Yeah, it's actually weird. It's crazy cool. It's crazy fact is that Athletic Bilbao only plays Spanish-born players from the Basque area. I know the Williams brothers play for Ghana, but technically they were born in the Basque area. So that's a cool fact. That's it's a different way when you see the amount of money is spent this day and age, and you know, talents and academies aren't always looked upon as a favorable way. So to see a team like that pull off a, you know, win a league with Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid to do that is pretty cool. So.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, you gotta love to see that, but it's also a little bit discriminatory. But we don't have to get into that. If that was a question, I'd get that trash bins. It was fucking racist. Nothing new in Spain, though, man. Especially that Basque region. Oh my god, they are some of the biggest racists you'll ever meet in your life. I'm not even joking. It gets bad over there. Oh man, but yeah, that's a little good section there, Tony. And you know, this we haven't had to do this season yet, this year really, 2024. But we're getting a little depressing to talk about the status of Toronto FC. You know, we started so prosperous and now we've had back-to-back losses where the combined goal line is 7-1 over the past two games. That 4-0 defeat to Vancouver this past weekend, what do you make of it?
That's a tough one to swallow. I think as Vancouver, despite having a good record, as we mentioned a couple of times, they didn't have good competition. And we made it look as if we were the easiest competition they faced.
Yep.
I do think Vancouver was very fortunate with the Debbie Flores mistake
at the right beginning. Off the hop. That was
very fortunate. And then, I mean, two breakaways for the second goal, the third and fourth goal. It's we had our chances. I will give it Vancouver's goaltender. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name because I know I'm going to butcher it, but he had a fantastic game. I mean, DeAndre Kerr had a couple of really good chances that he stopped, even Bernadeschi. I mean, DeAndre Kerr got unlucky with that one that he shot off the post, off the goalie, off the defender and out pretty much. So,
yeah,
I mean, it wasn't like we didn't have our chances, but reality was, it was just a very unlucky result. And, you know, I've noticed something that if we can't keep a clean sheet, we can't win. So,
yeah. And you know what? We said it in the games leading up was that we were very lucky to keep clean sheets in those games too, right? Like we played out of our mind goalie wise and defensively to keep those clean sheets. And if we didn't, it'd be a lot different story. And this is what's happening. We're seeing that different story now where these teams are being able to put in these goals. The one thing I will say is I don't know if we're cursed or what when it comes to scoring goals. But like you said, man, how unlucky could we get? We're trying to find a goalscorer to come in. Bernadeschi can't put one in to save his life. We got DeAndre Kerr who's getting his first start.
He's making great chances. It's just they're just not falling, right?
Oh, yeah. So, like nothing, and even nothing DeAndre against Kerr,
he, DeAndre Kerr had a fantastic – even Maiula at the end, I mean, it just – what nothing was working.
How do they not score? That Maiula one at the end was a bad miss. I don't know how he doesn't score that. But the Kerr one, too, should have tapped it in. It's just we're just not getting lucky. And I know everyone's saying get a number nine. Kerr played well, I thought.
He did. He connected – he opened up the field very well for Bernadeschi to have some space.
Yeah, a few bounces go our way. It's a different game.
Yeah, like he – I mean, the one that went off the post, off the goalie, that would have been 1-1 at that point, right?
Yep.
So that would have been a totally different game. So, I mean, am I discouraged to lose to Vancouver 4-0? Of course. You never want to lose to those bums like that. They had like 10 fans at the game and five of them are TFC fans. So, I mean, it's just – you know, it's tough to see that, but you know, I will say one thing. Vancouver's coach, Vinny, I can't think of his last name right now. I don't like him because if I was a pro coach, that would be me, the way he talks shit.
Yeah.
you know?
No one likes looking at themselves, right?
Like, I can't talk too much shit because if I was him in that position, I would be just as bad as what I said. And I think he is a big reason why the Vancouver team is punching above their weight right now, because he does push that confidence into the team. You know, I think he has them confident. He has them thinking like, we're the best, forget about Toronto. We're the number one team in Canada. Right. And the stats, they're only 3 points ahead of us with a game in hand, but he really does push that team over. And you can see just the way his passion on the sidelines during that game. And how excited he was. Like he does do well. So I get why people talk shit about him, but at the end of the day, when you're playing good, you gotta let everyone know, right? So
it is, you know, and you're hit the nail on the head when you said that's pretty much you.
Oh, 100%. That would be me. Like that would be me 100%. So I mean,
and,
you're looking,
and I mean, I don't want to call it what it is, but his last name is a very Italian name, Tom. No,
I can't think of his. I can't. Sartini. Sartini. Yeah, I knew it was Vinny Sartini. So I mean, you know, it's he got the job done against TFC. He got one up on Herdman. You know what's crazy? I heard during the game. It's just a random thing, but he's actually coaching both. Well, actually not former, but both U.S. and American national team coaches' sons. So he had Herdman's sons there, and now Berhalter's son is actually on his team too. So just a little fun fact about it. So yeah. I mean,
I saw Herdman's son did not make the squad for that game. They were talking about that too.
I mean, I get why. I mean, I wouldn't put him out there either.
Yeah,
as a coach, just because not that I don't think he probably would do well, but you don't need to put needed pressure on a young kid for no reason, right? So
no. TFC take it this weekend. They're still on the 2-game road trip. They're on their second game now into Charlotte, a team we beat at home, only 1-0. What do you see happening in this game?
We've always had great luck against Charlotte. I think we have maybe one loss against them, but I'm hoping this would be the game where Berndeschi comes off, because he, like I've mentioned, the last time he played Charlotte, Berndeschi's most successful games have been against this team.
Yeah. You
know, we saw the Olympico goal. We saw the two goals in his debut, or a goal in his debut, another one when we played Charlotte on the road that season. So this is a team that I feel I'm hoping he walks in with a lot of confidence against them.
Yeah.
If he can, he's done it before, he can do it again. And it's going to be warmer weather. So he's going to be able, they're going to be a little bit better.
Yeah,
I
hope so. I hope that's the case. But we've been saying this every week now of, hey, yeah, hopefully today's the game that he's able to get the monkey eyes back to score. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, me personally, I think we'll see a 1-1 tie. I think we'll keep that playoff spot for now.
Are you happy with the 1-1 tie?
No, because I think it's a winnable game. Even without Insignia, I think the way Charlotte played last time, if DeAndre Kerr had been playing that game, we probably would have won by more. So,
might be wrong to say this, I'd be happy with a 1-1 tie.
Really? I mean, after the last two games that we've had, yeah, I understand.
I would be going on the road, getting any points to come back home with. I would be very content being able to grab that draw. It's a sad thing to say, but you know, you got to get the points somewhere. And a game against Charlotte on the road with, after the, like I said, the past two games, we've lost a combined 7-1. It just to get one goal and to get some points, I'd be happy at this point. Yeah. I'm unfortunately for the first time this year going to predict a loss. I think we're going to lose, and I think it's going to be another bad one. Right, I just, this team, man, you know, if the goalie's not standing on his head, we give up way too many chances.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's true.
We'll see.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, on the bright side, we're only 4 points out of first.
Yeah, no, I mean,
there's 2 points behind Inter Miami, and they played one game more than us. So
I don't think it's by any means time to go crazy and start jumping to conclusions and stuff, saying, okay, we need this, we need that. No, I don't think it's time yet. But at the same time, it's also not the time to just be like, oh, we're still okay because it's better than last year. I don't want to be better than last year. I want to be better.
Yeah, keep going.
You know what I mean? I want to keep it going. I want to keep the hope alive that we can make a good playoffs run and maybe even make some noise in the playoffs. And we're not going to be doing that if we're just going, well, we're better than last year. Because that's not that hard to do since we were the worst fucking team last year.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. But let's hope we can go into Charlotte, get this win or a draw, and then come back home to face New England. Also, what's with the scheduling? We've already faced New England. We've already faced Charlotte. We're facing them again in the next 2 weeks. And then we have New York City again in the beginning of May, who we've already played once. Like, what the fuck?
I know.
How does this happen?
I don't know. They're this
goddamn Mickey Mouse.
Welcome MLS. To MLS, you know.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse League. But well, you know what? It's not the only Canadian soccer that we have now since we got the CPL kicking off. Tony, we all know that's your bread and butter. Why don't you give us a little bit of update on what's going on there?
So crazy thing, after everything we spoke about, I think it was about a month ago or so, that there was no TV rights for the CPL. Well, it turns out One Soccer is going to still broadcast these games. So after everyone complained, One Soccer got it back. So here we are.
I don't even get it.
I did a little research just before, because I was actually, when I mentioned to you that this was the opening week, I said, let me do a little background on it. And reality is, I guess One Soccer just kept it going. So I don't know if MediPro is still a part of it, but One Soccer will be showing all the games again this year.
Are they still producing the games, though, too, then?
That I don't know. I didn't get much of an answer, but then to confirm, I looked on my Fubo subscription, and yes, the games are scheduled there, so... I'll see Saturday when it opens up, as our boys York United go up against Atletico Ottawa to start the season. Ooh. And I have to say, Atletico Ottawa, this team that they are fielding right now, may be the best team we've seen in the CPL yet. They have some primed talent, great players in the CPL, as they've added Amir Didich, Manny Aprecio from Pacific has joined them as well, and also Balu Tabla has returned to Atletico Madrid. So you're talking about some prime.
Oh, he's back. Was he decent when he was in the CPL?
He was one of their top scorers. He wasn't the top scorer that season, but he was a big reason why Atletico won the regular season. Yeah. And you add it with Oli Bassett, who's still there, who's probably one of the top three midfielders in the league. So this is a big team, and Forge surprisingly have actually, I think, taken a step back, as now Tristan Henry, their goalie, is actually not returning to the team this year. He's trying to force a move out of Hamilton. So
why? He doesn't like winning, or does he just not like that shithole that's Hamilton?
It didn't really go into too. I actually looked in a little bit, but there was a quote from Bobby Simeonis on a podcast. I don't know the name of it, but he did say there's partially personal reasons why Henry wants to go back to the States. And they had a move to a USL team confirmed, and then Forge pulled out last minute to keep him. But now it's understanding that he's not going to return to the team. So
why does he want to go to the States? He's a Scarborough man. He even played for Sigma, like with Coach Bobby. Yeah. Like, he's one of Coach Bobby's guys. That's so weird.
Maybe it's the DJ Khaled suffering from success for him or something like that. But, so that's a big thing with Forge. I mean, he's been a staple for that team since day one. Arguably the best goalie in CPL history. There are other goalies that are pretty good, like Carducci on Cavalry as well. It's going to be interesting. I think this season is pretty open. To be honest, off the bat, Atletico will be my first pick, but you got guys like, I mean, Calvary's always been a successful team.
I was going to say, if I had to cut in my head, it's a Cavalry Forge final.
Forge is fantastic.
It's a Cavalry Forge final, again, because it's the way that fucking every year is those two guys. Those two teams are always the top.
They're starting the season, too. They're going to be the second game of opening weekend this weekend. But another team to think about, I mean, Pacific, obviously, always there. Wanderers, they had a great turnaround season last year, going from pretty much dead last to a playoff spot. And then obviously York United, with their new ownership and their preseason tour, took them to play against Monterrey and Tigres. Obviously not their big guns, but even then, that's their second teams are pretty decent compared to CPL teams. So
I've heard too much of York. Every year York could be good this year. I think they'll do okay, and then they fucking blow. So I'll believe it when I see it. If I had to pick a winner right now, I ain't betting against Forge, because they just proved that they are the best team in this league. Coach Bobby is the best coach in the league, and they know what it takes to win. So that's who I'd be taking right now if I had to pick a team to win it all.
It's gonna be interesting to see. Obviously, opening game this weekend is this Saturday. York is going to Ottawa. Forge hosts Cavalry. Pacific hosts the Wanderers, and Vancouver FC play Valor on Sunday. Oh, and also, how do you think of those Valor Casino Rama themed jerseys?
I don't like them. I mean, there's a few jerseys.
Cool idea, but
I don't know, man. Something about the color and everything. I get the idea behind it. It just doesn't hit right with me. They're not the worst jerseys by any means. I think Atletico Ottawa might have some of the worst kits I've ever seen in my life, partially because it's an awful sponsor on it. It makes the jersey look so much worse, in my opinion. But yeah, that jersey. But kudos to them for trying something.
You don't like that plain, what's it called? The glass window jersey that Atletico has?
The stained glass jersey? Dude, it looks god-awful. That's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. That might be the worst jersey I've seen in a long time since that Tottenham ugly jersey. That's not even a stained glass. I don't even know what to call it. Like it's bad, man.
I don't know.
And I love how they don't show
never have good ones.
Well, so Atletico Ottawa, if you go on the CPL site, they don't every other jersey you can see what it looks like with their sponsors, except Atletico Ottawa's, because they know how god awful that sponsor looks on the jersey that they just say no, we can't do
what
it.
What is it? It's One Soccer, right? Or is it
no,
Maple Lodge?
No, it's like Maple Lodge or something like that. It looks so bad to me because it's just like a giant circle with writing, which in between the whole stripes, like it looks so off. Oh, I don't like it whatsoever. And clearly the CPL agrees with me because they don't put it on there. But I mean, we've talked about other teams too that have outstanding jerseys this year. Like we touched on Vancouver's already. I even think Halifax's looks very nice. They're alternate.
It's clean. They're both clean. Yeah.
They're both very clean. Vancouver's primary jersey, the black, I think, with the Eagles things on the back, is very nice.
I like the orange accent too. I wish the CIBC was orange too on that one.
You know what? Everyone's did good. The more I look at the Valor one, it's not, I don't know, it's just not a soccer jersey. It's too much. It's way too much. Especially with the One Soccer logo. Like I like how
they fit. The only thing I like about that is that they actually fit the design to fit around the One Soccer.
Yes, they did that.
Like they put it in their homework, like let's actually make a circular design so this logo doesn't look weird.
How come Cavalry got three jerseys?
I think because they fucked up on the first two being horrible. I actually don't mind this. I don't mind this alternate like kind of like camel jersey. I mean, like that Northern Lights jersey is ugly. Like, just do a plain green jersey, right? Like, there's no need for that. Their aesthetics. The red one's not bad, but I don't know. Cavalry's been one of those teams that just can't get the jerseys right any year. So,
yeah, no, that's true. Well, listen, guys, if you like CPL and you want to hear more about it, we sometimes remember to bring it up when we're going through the season. So stay tuned to that, guys. And like I said, we'll be back here next Thursday on Spotify, Apple Music, at Footy LG. And you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at the same thing to hear and come back to hear more of me and Tony talking about what went on in Champions League, how did Toronto do against Charlotte, and maybe do we remember to bring up CPL? I guess you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So I'm Avatoni and myself, guys. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.